WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This week on Viewpoints.
She did recall one time seeing a beautiful apple down in the cellar, and she took it and ate it and just received a terrible beating as a result.
The traumatic legacy of Indian boarding schools. Then,
the only people who don't have regrets are 5-year-olds, people with brain damage, and sociopaths. The rest of us have regrets.
Understanding the gut-wrenching feeling of regret. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Well, these polymers aren't as flexible as batch K3.
Researcher Laurie is stretched thin.
Did you get the vulcanization analytics from V66? Wait, are these rubber scores from last week?
She needs to hire new lab technicians so she can bounce back into her old self.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our matching platform lets you spend less time searching and more time connecting with candidates. Redeem your $75 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
Ethnic cleansing is often seen as a tragedy that happens far from American soil. Massacres like the Holocaust, the Rwandan genocide, or the ongoing Rohingya crisis in Myanmar. We Americans might shake our heads and point fingers at these countries, but we're not immune to these atrocities. In the late 1800s, thousands of Native American children, some as young as 5 years old, were taken from their homes and forced into boarding schools. Not only were they separated from their parents and tribes, but they were stripped of their native identities and languages. And this wasn't just about assimilation. It was an organized attempt to systematically erase indigenous culture.
It was considered sort of a bloodless response to the quote-unquote Indian problem in the United States, which was their interference with westward expansion. And the thought was through various assimilative policies that that would make it easier, and that is to take away their heritage and their language.
That's Mary Annette Pember, a citizen of the Red Cliff Ojibwe tribe and a national correspondent for ICT News, formerly known as Indian Country Today. She's also the author of Medicine River, a story of survival and the legacy of Indian boarding schools. In her book, she uncovers how these schools were the first step of a larger plan.
Sending Native students to boarding schools was preceded by other far-reaching assimilationist policies like Indian removal from their lands and allotment, which was the goal was to create private landowners. And what it ended up doing was really separating Native peoples from their ability to survive and feed their families, and arguably, you know, had a greater impact than any of the other assimilationist style policies.
The boarding school policy wasn't a blip in history. It lasted for 150 years. Together, the federal government and the Catholic Church ran over 400 of these schools across the country and housed tens of thousands of Native children. Official reports estimate that about 1,000 children died and were buried on school grounds. However, Pember and other Native Americans argue that this number is far larger, pushing into the tens of thousands. The common causes for death were starvation, tuberculosis, and broken hearts. One of the first federal boarding schools was the Carlisle Indian Industrial School in Pennsylvania. Former Civil War Lieutenant Richard Henry Pratt founded it in 1879. His motto was, "Kill the Indian in him and save the man." This principle was adopted across the entire boarding school system. The barbaric practices of this system resulted in long-lasting generational trauma that still has an effect today. Pember's mother, Bernice, entered an Indian boarding school at age 5.
My mother would tell me about her life at the boarding school on the Bad River Reservation in Wisconsin. And the school was St. Mary's Catholic Indian Boarding School that was run by a Franciscan order of nuns called the Sisters of Perpetual Adoration. And people in the reservation called it the Sister School. My mother told me the Sister School stories from my earliest memory, and always somehow embedded in the telling was the expectation that I would write about it and I would tell the world about her experience and, you know, as a path towards redemption.
The children spent their days doing chores and were typically given very little to eat. Pember says her mother recalls always being hungry.
My mother often told me about the Mother Superior, Sister Catherine, who was pretty brutal in her discipline. And she did recall one time seeing a beautiful apple down in the cellar, and she took it and ate it and just received a terrible beating as a result. But Sister Catherine was uniquely brutal in her discipline of the children, and the kids really feared her and hated her. And my mother would often tell me a story about one Christmas season when Mother Superior, Sister Catherine, fell down the cellar steps and basically, you know, hit her head and died. And she would say to me, "Oh, what a secret cheer us children did. It was the best Christmas gift we ever got."
Growing up, Pember never knew whether these family stories were completely true. Now, as an investigative reporter, she spent many hours verifying these firsthand accounts. To do so, she traveled to the archival library at Marquette University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where many of these records live.
I was looking at the records for St. Mary's Indian Boarding School, and I happened upon a administrative correspondence between the sister secretary of St. Mary's School and the commissioner at the Bureau of Indian Affairs, at the Bureau of Catholic Indian Missions in Washington, D.C. And the letter to the commissioner says, "Well, you know, by the time you receive this letter, our sister will, Catherine, will likely have met her maker."
The letter continued with details of Sister Catherine's death, the same story Pember heard from her mother.
So I was alone in this big reading room at Marquette University at the Rainer Collection, and I stood straight up out of my chair when I read that. You know, it was kind of like my family's personal smoking gun, validating everything I'd been told as a child.
Looking back, Pember's own childhood was scarred from the trauma her mom endured as a child. Her mom had severe depression and often wasn't present and available to be the parent she needed. It wasn't until she was older that this anger turned into understanding and forgiveness. Another big moment of forgiveness was last October when former President Joe Biden formally apologized for the U.S. government's role in the Indian boarding school system.
His apology was straight up, you know, as the President of the United States, he apologized. But since I was kind of looking at some other stuff and noticed that the link to that apology on the White House website is gone. And I did inquire among several agencies, you know, "What's up with this apology? Are you guys like not sorry anymore? What do you have to say about it?" And I didn't get any response from anybody. And I contacted several people within the White House, within President Trump's press folks, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the Department of the Interior. I even reached out to the Office of Army Cemeteries, which oversees Carlisle.
Pember says that despite the removal of the U.S. government's apology from the White House website, nothing can erase what Biden's words meant to her people.
I think for Native folks, you know, they heard the apology. It was a sincere apology from President Biden. At least President Trump has not officially stood up and taken it back. It's just sort of gone, you know, in this Orwellian kind of method that he seems to be operating his presidency. But I think that we still see it as an apology, and I think people are going forward with that thought.
Today, there's the National Native American Boarding School Healing Coalition, a national nonprofit which continues to address the ongoing trauma caused by this period. Marionette Pember's book, Medicine River, A Story of Survival and the Legacy of Indian Boarding Schools, is available now online and can be requested through your local bookstore. To find out more about our guest this week, visit viewpointsradio.org. This segment was written and produced by Polly Hansen. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, what are your biggest regrets to date when Viewpoints returns?
It's Macy's Friends and Family Sale, which means if you're shopping for summer, you can get insider deals on our best brands, even ones that aren't usually on sale, like an extra 30% off Hugo Boss, Calvin Klein, Levi's, and more. Plus, get 15% off beauty and fragrance. And with Father's Day just around the corner on June 15th, it's a great time to shop for dad. Stop by Macy's today and walk out with the perfect gift. Don't miss Friends and Family. Ends Monday, only at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Here's comedians and Skechers getting comfortable, presented by hands-free Skechers slip-ins.
Hey, I'm Bobby Slayton, and I'm here with my pal, comedian, and Skechers ambassador, Mr. Howie Mandel.
Why did it take so long to invent something as amazing as slip-ins?
Maybe because all the inventors were focused on more important inventions, you know, like pet rocks and selfie sticks and, of course, seedless watermelons. You know, real important inventions.
But I know it seems simple, but it took Skechers to invent a better pair of shoes.
Yep. With Skechers slip-ins, you just step it and go. You don't have to touch your shoes, and you do not have to bend down.
And we know how much you hate bending down.
Hey, 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 careful, Howie. Family commercial. And by the way, slip-ins are for the whole family. Men, women, and kids. In all your favorite Skechers styles, from sneakers to casual shoes to boots and even sandals.
See, that's what I love about Skechers. They don't discriminate on gender, age, or shoe orientation. Even sandals deserve the best technology. We've come a long way, Bobby, as a society.
Yeah, well, speak for yourself, Howie. And by the way, you can find Skechers slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Do you ever wish you pursued a different career or went back to school or said yes to that trip you said no to? It's completely normal to look back and wonder, what if? Regrets, both small and big, happen at every stage of life and can center around work, relationships, major life decisions, and more. Some people may regret breaking up with a partner, while others regret getting back together.
It's an emotion that causes some amount of pain. And the pain is the stomach-churning feeling that we get when we look backward and say, oh, if only I hadn't made that decision. If only I hadn't taken that course. If only I hadn't not done that thing. And it's unpleasant, but it's also instructive.
That's Daniel Pink, an American writer based in Washington, D.C. Pink holds a law degree from Yale Law School and worked in politics and economic policy during his early career. In the 1990s, he was the chief speechwriter for Vice President Al Gore. Since then, he's continued writing but dabbles in several subjects. For a man who's accomplished so much in life, you'd think he'd have no regrets. But Pink says everyone has something they would change if they could go back.
The only people who don't have regrets are five-year-olds, people with brain damage, and sociopaths. The rest of us have regrets. It's one of the most common emotions that human beings experience, and it's one of the most common emotions, obviously, then that business people experience. And the reason it's so common is because it's useful if we deal with it right. If we deal with it right.
But some people explicitly choose not to deal with it. In recent years, there's been a growing philosophy around the mantra of no regrets. This mindset pushes continuous positivity, and the main idea is to keep moving forward and never look back. While some may embrace this kind of overly positive thinking, Pink thinks that people miss out on important life lessons if they never confront past mistakes.
Regret instructs, regret clarifies, regret points the way. And so a business leader who says, I have no regrets, is also a business leader saying, I don't learn anything. I'm not willing to improve. And that's why it's dangerous. Now, the key here, though, just to be fair, is that when we think about our regrets, we should not ignore them. That leads to delusion. But we shouldn't wallow in them either. We should confront them. And one of the things that bugs me about this no regrets philosophy, particularly in business, is that it is a false display of courage. We think that no regrets is a sign of how courageous we are, and it's not. Courage is staring your regrets in the eye and doing something about them.
Recognizing these failures is the first step. One way to do this is by writing or talking about how you're feeling. Try asking yourself, what mistake did I make? Why did I make that decision? And what thoughts are going through my head? The physical action of writing or talking to someone can help turn abstract emotions into something more concrete. This process of reflection also shows others a different side of you and that you're capable of growth.
We believe that when we disclose our mistakes or our vulnerabilities, people will think less of us. And there's 30 years of science telling us that's wrong. That in general, not in all cases, but in general, much more often than we think, when we disclose our vulnerabilities, people think more of us. They admire our genuine courage and they empathize with us.
From there, take this experience and turn it into a teaching lesson. Is it possible to fix the situation? If not, how can you learn from this mistake? Was it action or inaction that led you to feel this way? This type of reflection helps steer people away from making the same mistake twice. Pink himself wrote down a list of some of his biggest missteps.
When I looked at my mistakes and setbacks and failures, I found that a lot of them, and this might sound odd, but there really wasn't a lesson. It was just like, sometimes things don't work out. Sometimes there's randomness and bad luck and whatever, and that's life. However, there were other ones where the source of the screw up was so clearly me. And there were two big mistakes that I kept making over and over and over. And this failure resume, this reckoning with our regret, exposed that. And now I make those two mistakes a lot less.
He was also curious about how other Americans felt about regret. With the help of a data analytics company, he surveyed almost 4,500 people, asking them a variety of questions.
When I asked Americans the question about regret, without using that supercharged word regret, I got some interesting answers. So I asked people, how often do you look back on your life and wish you had done something differently? So I'm describing regret, but I'm not assigning it the R word. We found that 1% of people say they did that never. About 15%, 16% say they did it rarely. And 83% of Americans say, yeah, occasionally I do this. And actually about 40-something percent said they did it a lot. And so this is a very prevalent emotion, regret. And my research shows that research beginning in the 1980s showed that regret is one of our most common emotions. It is arguably our most common negative emotion. So it is ubiquitous. And the quantitative survey showed that very clearly.
And what were some of the biggest sources of regret? Pink got thousands of answers from people across the globe. Many were similar, so he organized them into four distinct categories. The first focuses on foundation.
These are people who might have health regrets, like not taking care of their bodies or smoking, but also financial regrets. I didn't save enough money, or even education regrets. I didn't work hard enough in school. Small decisions that somehow compromise the stability of your life. Another big regret were boldness regrets. If only I'd taken the chance. A lot of people regret not asking somebody out on a date or not starting a business or not speaking up. So boldness regrets are, if only I'd taken the chance. Moral regrets are, if only I'd done the right thing. You're at a juncture in your life, you can do the right thing, you can do the wrong thing, you do the wrong thing. Many of us, not all of us, but a heck of a lot of us regret that. So these are things like bullying, marital infidelity, other kinds of cheating. And then finally, we have connection regrets. This is if only I'd reached out. And these are these regrets that we were talking about earlier, of often of friendships and other relationships where the relationship drifts apart. People want to reach out. They think it's going to be awkward, so they don't do it. They think the other side's not going to care, so they don't do it. They drift further apart and they regret it.
Another interesting finding from the U.S. study was that there weren't many differences demographically. The biggest disparity was that regrets tied to what people didn't do increased with age.
When people are young, they tend to have equal numbers of action and inaction regrets. But as people age, inaction regrets take over. And I think it's because we can resolve some action regrets. We can, as we were talking about earlier, we can make amends, we can undo them. We can try to derive some sense from them, but inaction regrets gnaw at us for a very long time. And so the more we move on in our lives, the more that what really haunts us are regrets about what we didn't do. We didn't start that business. We didn't become an entrepreneur. We didn't ask that person out on a date. We didn't go on to visit some place that we've always wanted to visit. That's what sticks with us over the long haul.
And there are also actions or inactions that couldn't be fixed. These are called closed-door regrets.
For closed-door regrets, if you wrong somebody and that person is gone, there you can't undo that. You're stuck with that. What you can do, though, is use that as an engine for guiding your future behavior. You're never going to extinguish that, I don't think. But what you can do is you can take some of that pain and make sure that along with that pain, you're getting instruction. So what did this teach me? What does this tell me what to do next time?
It's important to remember that regret is just another emotion and a normal part of the human experience. The next time you feel that stabbing, overwhelming feeling of remorse, guilt, or failure, take note. Everyone makes mistakes, but it's what you do next that matters. To find out more about this topic and our guest, Daniel Pink, visit viewpointsradio.org. Also, check out his book, The Power of Regret, available online and in bookstores. This segment was written and produced by Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson. This segment is sponsored by Capital One. Banking with Capital One helps you keep more money in your wallet with no fees or minimums on checking accounts and no overdraft fees. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Progressive knows when you own a boat or RV, it's like you're automatically on vacation, even if you're actually a marriage counselor in the middle of couples therapy. But in your mind, you're camping in Acadia, puttering around Frenchman Bay. Your boat and RV are both protected, your lobster drenched in butter and... Uh-oh, did your clients just notice you weren't listening? Quick, do the thing where you just repeat back exactly what they said but as a question. They bought it. Now back to Maine, earning an automatic discount bundling your boat or RV with your home or auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Charmin Ultra Strong. You can use less, better than the rest. Charmin Ultra Strong. Your booty pass the clean test. Yeah. Salmon wave texture, it's the best. Study up, teach a lesson on fresh. Your booty pass the clean test.
Yes, sir.
Charmin Ultra Strong.
Charmin Ultra Strong with Diamond Weave Texture cleans better than the leading one-ply brand, so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. Peak summer wedding season is here. Before walking down the aisle, more couples today are adding an extra item to their to-do list, premarital counseling. A survey conducted earlier this year by The Knot found that out of 17,000 engaged or just married couples, about a third went to couples therapy. For Gen Zers, this number is higher at nearly 40%. Once seen as a last-ditch effort to save a failing marriage, couples therapy is now viewed as a way to maintain a healthy and happy partnership. And it's not just about avoiding divorce. Many people say they don't want to repeat the patterns they saw in their parents' marriages. One upside is that therapy offers a neutral and supportive space to have difficult conversations about common relationship issues, like where money is being spent or how couples talk to each other in moments of conflict. Experts say that while premarital therapy can't fix a relationship, it can help couples gain their right tools as they move into this next chapter. And for a growing number of young people, it's becoming just as important as choosing a venue or what's on the wedding menu. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. The Final Destination franchise is a horror franchise that never really gets too scary. Instead of using tension and terror, Final Destination almost gleefully depicts death and its design ruthlessly terrorizing groups of overzealous teens who have somehow escaped death once before. The franchise's trademark is that these teens are then killed one by one, typically through long, convoluted, Rube Goldberg machine-like chain reactions that somehow lead to a shockingly violent outcome. While other horror franchises like The Conjuring or Friday the 13th seek to unsettle and scare its audiences, Final Destination is more like a gory horror version of a Where's Waldo book. What I mean is that half the fun of an FD movie is in the audience trying to predict which items in a given scene could deliver a cinematic kill and which character is next on death's list. If all of this sounds depraved and weird to you, then I can't dispute that. Final Destination is a bloody and disgusting movie franchise that nevertheless keeps packing theaters. The latest installment is called Final Destination Bloodlines, and it managed to gross more than $50 million in its opening weekend at the domestic box office. The movie begins with a long introduction set in the 1960s that just might be my favorite extended sequence in the entire franchise. And then it comes into the modern day, where we see a family hoping to outrun death's grasp. With the franchise's trademark glee in hand, Final Destination Bloodlines goes on to show just how difficult the task of escaping death can be. And honestly, it does all make for a pretty fun watch if you're into that kind of thing. I'm Evan Rook.
It's Macy's Friends and Family Sale, which means if you're shopping for summer, you can get insider deals on our best brands, even ones that aren't usually on sale, like an extra 30% off Hugo Boss, Calvin Klein, Levi's, and more. Plus, get 15% off beauty and fragrance. And with Father's Day just around the corner on June 15th, it's a great time to shop for dad. Stop by Macy's today and walk out with the perfect gift. Don't miss Friends and Family. Ends Monday, only at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it to keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
So, what's your boat? A boat for fishing, a boat for skiing, a pontoon boat for partying? Or are you thinking personal watercraft? Whatever floats fun for you, remember CCU. That's Clover Belt Credit Union, the leader in financing summer fun. Motorcycles, ATVs, campers, motorhomes, and convertibles too. Great rates, great service, great fun. Local lenders lending local money. Quick and easy loan approval. It's the way financing should be. Stop in and visit with a CCU lender today. CCU can set you up with great rate financing approval, so when you find your boat, you're ready to float. Summer's just too short not to enjoy every moment you can on the water, on the road, or off the road camping or ATVing. Stop in, call, or apply online at ccuwausau.com for your great rate. Whatever floats summer fun for you, remember CCU. That's Clover Belt Credit Union. We finance fun.
So, how are the kids?
Well, Emily made the honor roll.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, we're really proud of her. Tyler, on the other hand, though.
What's going on?
He's been moody lately, just feeling down and not like himself.
Oh, we've been there. Nick was struggling last spring. He was so anxious and stressed.
Really? What helped?
Well, he joined the soccer team. And ever since, he's been a lot happier. He has more energy, he's less stressed, and he's definitely in a better mood at home. It's made a huge difference.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad he's getting out of the house, he's getting some exercise, and he's off his phone for once. It's been good for his mental health.
Sounds like it's been good for your mental health, too.
Participating in Wisconsin high school sports improves students' physical and mental health. Encourage your son or daughter to get involved. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This week on Viewpoints.
There are 19 million Americans who have a felony conviction, a huge barrier to employment and full participation in society.
The difficult task of starting over and finding work after serving time. Then,
I was really thriving and really successful and to the top of my game, but I was starting more and more to feel anxious and a little out of control.
Do you need a life coach? I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Nia.
Hi, Nia. It's Jennifer. Did you know that Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year?
Yeah, I work here.
Okay. I was just double checking. Get it?
Because Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year.
Oh, you get me, Nia.
You could say that I double get you.
I guess we've taken it too far.
You earn, we match. Discover cashback match. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZQL.
ZQL, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZQL Nights. Explore our products at ZQL.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Across the U.S., nearly 2 million people are behind bars in federal, state, and local prisons and jails. This is according to an early 2025 report by the Prison Policy Initiative, a nonprofit organization focused on criminal justice reform and advocacy. Today, the U.S. still has the largest incarcerated population in the world. With so many millions passing through this system, what kind of life awaits on the other side? For many, securing a job, housing, and finding some stability can be a shockingly difficult process. On top of this, many people leave prison with some amount of unpaid debt as well.
Court costs and fines and fees are charged to people at the time of their case and follow them around. So in some states, there are deductions taken out of their already meager pay, both for restitution, but also to cover court fees and fines. And so your average prisoner leaves prison thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars in debt.
That's Beth Schwartzapfel, a staff writer at the Marshall Project, a nonprofit media outlet covering criminal justice issues.
You start out in this really big hole. That's the first thing. And then you come out with a felony conviction, which makes it incredibly difficult to get a job. Studies have shown that when you start with a felony conviction and then you layer race on top of it, Black men with a felony conviction got the lowest callback rates of any group in a kind of seminal study of people who are applying for entry-level jobs. So the deck is really stacked against people.
Without steady employment or access to education or training, it can be all too easy to slide back into incarceration. In a study published in September 2021, the Bureau of Justice Statistics looked at rates of recidivism over a 10-year span between 2008 and 2018 across 24 states. Essentially, recidivism is when previously convicted criminals get rearrested and re-enter the prison system. The report found that within 3 years, about two-thirds of former prisoners were arrested again. Within 10 years, this number jumped to 82%. Schwartzapfel says that part of the problem is this.
Prisons pay prison workers little or nothing for their work. So it's often prisoners who are doing the work of keeping the prison running, doing the laundry, you know, mopping the floors, filing papers, mowing the lawn, pretty much anything that has to happen besides for security to keep the prison going, prisoners are doing. And yet they're paid in a couple of states, $0, and in most other states, pennies on the hour. An hourly wage for a prisoner is between 14 and 63 cents an hour, according to Prison Policy Initiative. And the way that prisons sort of justify that is to say, well, it's real world experience, right? They're learning to work and they'll be released with whatever it is they did at the prison on their resume.
But what kind of future work is this setting them up for? There's been a lot of talk around the importance of rehabilitation in prison. Well, one aspect of this is helping prisoners gain access to long-term meaningful employment.
Set them up with job training in a field where there's demand, right? And where there's a clear path to get out and pursue that work.
One advancement is the return of Pell Grants for prisoners, which are a form of federal need-based financial aid. Eligible students can access aid and earn a degree through college and prison programs. However, in some cases, even with an education or relevant work experience, a criminal record is an automatic disqualification.
In some states, anybody with a felony conviction can't get a barber's license, can't get a cosmetician's license. During the wildfire season, about how prisoners do a lot of the firefighting work in California, there's all these prison firefighting camps where prisoners do a lot of the work around fighting these wildfires. And yet there's a restriction against people with felony convictions working as firefighters. So here they're doing this extremely dangerous job that prepares them for a career that they are not allowed to have when they get out.
Schwarzenfel says that one silver lining is that there's been growing awareness around the harmful effects of mass incarceration. As a result, some business leaders are taking steps to hire from this population. This can range from local independent companies to large corporations like Kroger and J.P. Morgan, who are pulling from this pool of talent.
We simply don't have enough workers to fill all the openings that are out there. So this does create an opportunity for employers to look beyond their traditional hiring, which is a very, very good thing.
That's Jeffrey Korzenek, an economic researcher and author of Untapped Talent, How Second Chance Hiring Works for Your Business and the Community. Korzenek says that there are currently 19 million Americans with a felony conviction. For many within this group, a job offer is hard to come by.
For all people who have exited prison, it's estimated that the unemployment rate is 27%, and that includes those who are still looking. Of course, there are others who have simply dropped out of the labor force that you'd add on to that 27% number. In the first year out of incarceration, the unemployment rate is thought to be north of 50%.
Through his work, Korzenek has had many conversations with employers who have voiced concerns about hiring ex-prisoners.
The standard objections are all the same. It starts with, there are really three of them. It starts with this safety and liability. Are they incurring what's called negligent hiring liability, where they take on extra risk if something goes wrong because they've hired someone with a criminal record? Then there's concern about the quality of the product. Does second chance mean second rate? And then finally, there's a reputation risk. And there are effective responses to each. Ultimately, it relies on employers not just opening their doors to people with criminal records, but doing it in a thoughtful way that has processes that selects who is appropriate for any given role and also gives them the tools to thrive.
Some of these tools may mean extra mentorship or taking the time to help develop professional skills like communication and collaboration. Korzenek says that if more employers are going to access this talent pool, they need to be aware of some of the gaps that candidates may have. Another common mistake is blanket protocols on who exactly is hireable.
Employers often fail to distinguish between someone who's just out of prison or someone who's been out for 20 years and is well established. They tend to have blanket prohibitions on hiring people with criminal records, or even if they don't have actual prohibitions, will have a process that, in effect, excludes people with records from serious consideration. So someone who is 20 years out or 10 years out or even 5 years out, who's had stable employment, stable housing, stable transportation, that's really just another job candidate, doesn't need any special consideration, yet all too often employers exclude them as well.
Stable employment plays a big role in prisoner rehabilitation. A candidate that's a good fit for the position and the company benefits both parties and can lead to a more well-rounded workplace.
If the 21st century is when we finally realize that diversity of not just race, gender, you know, sexual orientation, but also viewpoints and life histories is what makes organizations strong and makes workplaces strong, then man, these folks have been through the ringer and they have seen so much and have so much to offer as far as, you know, wisdom and life experience. And I think more and more people are starting to recognize that.
To find out more about this topic and our guests, Beth Schwartzapple and Jeffrey Korzenich, visit viewpointsradio.org. You can learn about the Marshall Project by visiting themarshallproject.org. Also check Korzenich's book, Untapped Talent, now available online and in bookstores. This segment originally aired in January 2022 and was written and produced by Amira Zaveri. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, the difference between a therapist and a life coach when Viewpoints returns.
Progressive knows there are some surprisingly expensive things in life, like fences. A house with a big yard and a white picket fence was always the dream. But then you saw the price to install a fence and you're wondering if the color is driving the price up. Nobody ever dreams of a beige or a gray picket fence, right? So maybe those fences are cheaper. But no, they're not. Then you remember that switching your home and auto to Progressive could save you hundreds and make all your dreams of a fence come true. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
If you have a lot of shopping to do for summer, then you're actually in luck. Because at Macy's, the latest designer trends are here now. From swimming sandals to match sets and linen suits, all for 20% off. But get this, spend $100 and get 25% off. Spend $200 and get 30% off. 30%! So the bigger your summer, the better. Because the more you buy, the more you save. But hurry, it all ends Sunday at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Light a candle, pour some wine. Grab a roll of the soft kind for a little me time. Charmin Ultra Soft Smooth Tear. Wavy edges for my rear. So let the softness caress your soul. Just relax, you're on a roll. Let her rip. Charmin Ultra Soft Smooth Tear.
Charmin Ultra Soft Smooth Tear has the same softness you love. Now with wavy edges that tear better than the leading one-ply brand. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
In life, there's no playbook or cheat code. In fact, everyone has a different idea of what a successful life looks like. Some people measure fulfillment by the number of experiences they have, while others, like Mason Farmani, are dead set on career success. However, once he achieved this success, the rest of his life wasn't falling into order like he thought it would.
What was happening was that I was really thriving and really successful and to the top of my game, but I was starting more and more to feel anxious and a little out of control.
To try and get a grasp on his anxiety, he started working with a therapist. He was able to manage these feelings, but could never completely overcome them. In his journey to find healing, Farmani spoke with a psychiatrist who took a different approach to his anxiety. Instead of looking at the outside factors, Farmani was encouraged to dig deeper within himself.
We started talking about purpose, you know, what it is that I really, really needed to do and wanted to do in my life. And so I really realized that in my role as a CEO and managing partner of all these firms that I had created, I was fulfilling only a part of me, but not all of me. You know, and I had always coached my employees and my executives. And so I was like, you know what, that's when I lose myself in time. That when I start to coach people, that's when I am in the zone and I don't really realize how time flies and how time goes by. Sometimes I was being late to my next meeting because I was just enjoying doing that coaching with the employees so much.
It didn't take long for him to realize his true calling. Coaching was where he could put his education and expertise to use while also helping those around him.
That's when my anxiety started to just disappear. When I got connected to my why, when I got connected to the reason why I'm really here, that's when I started living my purpose.
One note, it's important to realize that this shift didn't come from Farmani's career change. Becoming a life coach wasn't the secret ingredient, but rather the product of figuring out who he is at his core. As a life coach, Farmani first works with his clients to find their identity. And though questions like, where are you from and what do you do, are often the first to be asked, those aren't going to get to the root of who you are.
It's not very often that we stop and take an inventory of who we really are and who we are not and who we really want to be, right? Some of what you want to be, it's going to get carried over to who you really want to live your life as moving forward. But there's a bunch of stuff that gets created. So once you get that, then we go from that point and we create your life through this lens of who you want to be, and you look at it in every decision you make.
So if you want to be kind and courageous, you use that as a guide for how you respond to every situation. Notice that understanding who you are and who you want to be doesn't have anything to do with what career you'll have or when you'll get married. Farmani says that when going through this exercise, it's important to think in terms of core attributes instead of the roles you may have. Those roles will change, but the core of who you are will dictate how you carry yourself through the rest of your life.
As relationships go broken up, and you may be a wife today, but you may be, I don't know, mother tomorrow, and then you may lose all of it one day. Well, what you're left with is yourself, not your role.
Once you have this starting foundation of who you are and what your obstacles are, you're able to place this lens over your entire life.
So if we can create a life that lives out of that intention, then you've got to make every decision that you make through that lens. Your career, your relationships, your community, which is a part of the relationship, yourself, right? Self-care and who you are, which is a piece of it. And if you live a balance in all of those different parts, then your satisfaction and your love for life doesn't only come from one section.
Which means that if a relationship falls apart or there's a bump in your career, you still have other areas of your life to lean on and feel fulfilled by. If you're thinking that life coaching sounds a lot like therapy, you're not completely wrong. Both aim to help individuals better their lives. But while therapy focuses on mental and emotional healing, life coaching tends to be more external. Another main distinction is the provider. Therapists undergo years of schooling and a certification, while an effective life coach relies on their personal experience in their chosen field.
The difference is in coaching that you have the knowledge, right? Like, for example, I do corporate coaching, but I have 40 years of running companies. So when I do corporate coaching, I also reach into my experience to coach.
However, no one's experience is going to be perfect. All of us have experienced failure, which begs the question, does a life coach have to have their own life together in order to be effective? Farmani says, it depends.
I think that a good coach also reaches out to their failures in their life to help clients, right? So it depends on what area you're coaching. You know, like I have had people that are great corporate coaches, but they're terrible at relationship coaching.
Which is similar to therapy in the sense that there are different areas that therapists specialize in to help specific problems. But unlike professional therapy, life coaches are able to bring their own experience to the table. While this flexibility can be extremely helpful, Farmani says that the field's lack of accreditation has made it more difficult for people to find a credible coach.
Currently, there's no licensing, there's no certification requirements, right? And I think at some point it's going to change because there's so many people that are coming into the field claiming that they are coaches. And they're going in, maybe they're going through a three-month certification. And even the people that are teaching them, I'm not sure that they're qualified to teach.
Since anyone can claim the title, Farmani says it's so important to set up a quick 15-minute interview to make sure the coach you're choosing is the right fit for your specific needs.
So during that 15 minutes, you got to be in charge, right? You got to be like really standing up for yourself and presenting yourself in such a way that all of you is asking the right questions so that you know whether this is the right fit. You want to come from the areas that you need help with, and then you want to ask them, how would you help me in this area, right? And also, can you tell me a little bit about somebody that was in this situation before, one of your old clients, one of your previous clients, that you were able to help, and how did you help them, and what was the outcome?
Focusing on the outcome of previous clients in similar situations will help you realize which coach will be best for you. You can find more information about life coaches and our guest, Mason Farmani, by heading to viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes and to support our program, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X. This segment originally aired on our sister show, Radio Health Journal, back in September 2024, and was written by our lead producer, Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
The Peace Lily is so last year. Hey, has anyone worked with Fiddlenecks?
Shelby's popular flower shop is in full bloom.
We just got a request for an arrangement that evokes air. Who's up for that challenge? No?
She needs to hire a floral designer to nip foliage faux pas in the bud.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our advanced matching helps find talented candidates so you can connect with them fast. Redeem your $75 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZQL.
ZQL, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZQL Nights. Explore our products at ZQL.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. Last spring, billions of cicadas broke out of the ground across the U.S. It was one of the largest and loudest cicada takeovers in recent memory. This mass emergence was caused by two different variations of cicadas coming up at once, one on a 13-year cycle, the other appearing every 17 years. But their timing wasn't a coincidence. It was the result of one of nature's most mysterious internal clocks. These insects spend nearly their entire lives underground and survive by feeding on xylem sap, a nutrient-rich liquid found in tree root. According to researchers, cicadas may be keeping time by noticing subtle differences in how their food tastes. Each spring, as trees bud and bloom, the xylem sap briefly becomes thicker and richer in nutrients. This change acts like a yearly signal, and scientists believe that cicadas keep track of this number. Once it hits 13 or 17, depending on the species of cicada, they tunnel up from the ground and start the brief, noisy business of mating and laying eggs. And this mass exodus from the dirt is strategic. When millions of cicadas appear all at once, predators can't possibly eat them all. It's a phenomenon in nature called predator satiation. Still, some big questions linger. Out of the more than 3,000 known cicada species around the world, only 9 follow this kind of schedule. Why so few, and what do the rest do? Scientists don't fully know these answers yet. What they do know is that what happened last summer, the mass arrival of 2 cicadas on different cycles, won't happen again for more than 200 years. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. Bon Iver singer-songwriter Justin Vernon has always been known for his forlorn music. His first album, titled For Emma Forever Ago, was famously the product of Vernon shuttering himself up in a Wisconsin cabin to explore his feelings of heartache and dissatisfaction. Since that album's release in 2007, songs from it, like Skinny Love and Restacks, have soundtracked many depressive episodes and cry sessions all around the world. And the first four tracks of Bon Iver's newest album, Sable Fable, follow suit, seeing Vernon in a reflective and, yes, downcast mood. And then disc two of the album begins, and the Bon Iver project steps into a world of positivity and joy. On Short Story, the first track of the Fable portion of the album, Vernon sings, "January ain't the whole world, and falling's really overshone, and you're never really, really on your own." Disc two of the Sable Fable album also features two of my favorite Bon Iver songs ever released, in Everything is Peaceful Love and There's a Rhythm. There is something truly magical about a musical act so known for its heartbreak and sadness to break through that ice and deliver songs about being contented, being happy, and finding your own place in the world. Sable Fable might not have any songs of the summer in the traditional sense, as Bon Iver is unlikely to dominate the airwaves, but it has plenty of songs that would fit right in on a drive home after a day at the beach, or on a lazy Sunday, cleaning up after a bangin' barbecue the night before. And that's because Bon Iver's Sable Fable has the kind of music you can joyfully soundtrack your life to. I'm Evan Rook.
If you have a lot of shopping to do for summer, then you're actually in luck. Because at Macy's, the latest designer trends are here now. From swimming sandals to match sets and linen suits, all for 20% off. But get this, spend $100 and get 25% off. Spend $200 and get 30% off. 30%! So the bigger your summer, the better. Because the more you buy, the more you save. But hurry, it all ends Sunday at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it to keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
So, what's your boat? A boat for fishing, a boat for skiing, a pontoon boat for partying? Or are you thinking personal watercraft? Whatever floats fun for you, remember CCU. That's Clover Belt Credit Union, the leader in financing summer fun. Motorcycles, ATVs, campers, motorhomes, and convertibles too. Great rates, great service, great fun. Local lenders lending local money. Quick and easy loan approval. It's the way financing should be. Stop in and visit with a CCU lender today. CCU can set you up with great rate financing approval, so when you find your boat, you're ready to float. Summer's just too short not to enjoy every moment you can on the water, on the road, or off the road camping or ATVing. Stop in, call, or apply online at ccuwausau.com for your great rate. Whatever floats summer fun for you, remember CCU. That's Clover Belt Credit Union. We finance fun.
We are the NFHS. That stands for the National Federation of State High School Associations. But really, what we stand for, together with the WIAA, are the 178,000 high school sports students in Wisconsin. And so we stand. We stand for the runners, soccer, and basketball players. We stand for their coaches, administrators, and officials. We stand for the swimmers, football players, and wrestlers. We stand for the golfers, softball, and volleyball players. We stand as the national leader and advocate for high school athletics and all who participate in them and make them possible. Because it is our purpose to ensure that high school students get to play, perform, and compete together. To learn more about who we are and what we stand for, visit nfhs.org.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The deployment of 2,000 National Guard troops is beginning, according to KCBS-TV, following violent clashes between ICE agents and protesters in L.A. This is what it sounded like during the height of the demonstrations last night. This witness describes what happened when federal immigration officers moved in to detain people near a Home Depot in Paramount, south of the city.
We were at a stoplight when out of nowhere, immigration agents, ICE, all that came. They came dressed up in all their military gear. You're stuck in your car and your vehicle. When they saw us looking at them, that's when they started throwing tear gas.
The demonstrator explains why she's protesting.
All we're doing is trying to help our people from being separated from their families.
President Trump says masks will no longer be allowed at protests. CBS News Special Report, I'm Wendy Gillette.